Welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my personal website, beardedtechedguy.com, and the new digital learning page on my SPS. That's right, you heard it. One of my first updates today is WeLearn page is gone and it has been replaced with this awesome new digital learning page. In fact, that's kind of why I haven't been blogging and posting and podcasting as much, is because I've needed to get this other project done first. Now that it's done, I'm getting back on the radio. So if you're looking for our department, it's under digital learning because that's, well, what we do. So make sure you keep your eye out for the newsletters as they get posted out. They'll be on that new page, along with blogs and podcasts. All that will be available to you. In case you missed it, we did have a blog post go out recently all about esports and education. I highly encourage you to check it out. One thing here in Springfield that we're looking to do is to expand, and by expand I mean start, our esports programs, as we'll be reaching out to schools over the next few weeks to find out what their needs are, what they're looking for, and how we can best help and assist them. So check out our blog posts all about that. And I'm excited to share with you this week's interview of the week. Now, normally, when we do interviews, I'm interviewing a teacher about something they're doing in the classroom. But over break recently, I took advantage of the time of having the interns and being in the office at the same time and interviewing them. Now, if you don't know this, our department usually has, for the last few years now, a couple of interns from one of the high schools where they get to take part in doing whatever we're doing in our department, whatever we're learning about that year. They'll do presentations, they'll help organize the lending library, and do kind of what other else things that we have going on. We try to involve them in as much as we can. Of course, you know, with some of the things we do, it does require only our eyes, but a lot of things that we do, we can include the interns. So I'm excited to bring you this interview now with our two interns from Putnam High School, and they will be graduating this year and both going off to college to pursue more in the computer science realm. So I'm excited to share with you this interview. I hope that you find it fascinating as I did because, well, I came from Vermont. I didn't go through the Springfield schools, but these lovely students are from our district here, and I'm excited to share their knowledge with you and the things that they have done this year. So take a listen.
My name is Anais Jones. I go to Putnam, and why I'm here for this. Like, I'm confused a little bit.
Are you an intern?
Oh, yeah, I'm an intern.
My name's Dealise. I go to Putnam with Anais, and yeah, I'm here as an intern.
Awesome. So we are excited. This is the first time we have interviewed interns for the podcast. So you'll be the first, hopefully not the last, depending on how I do today. So I want to start by, since you are both in high school, pretty much about to graduate in a little bit of time, I want to take you all the way back to when you were in elementary school. What schools were you at and what kind of technology did you have teachers using?
So I was in Connecticut and Florida for most of my elementary and middle school. I went to Roxbury Elementary and then Floor Ridge in Florida. And in elementary school, since I was a little younger, they didn't really have that many, I'd say, technology stuff or, like, gadgets and all that. It was mostly just, like, books and writing on paper, no tablets. And in Florida, I believe, that's when they started to use more of the iPads for learning and the smart boards for discussions and all that.
Mm-hmm. I went to Frederick Harris, and we didn't have many opportunities with technology till like fourth or fifth grade, and it was like computer class, like you're learning how to type, and the smart boards started evolving, like the Elmos and stuff.
Okay, so I want to circle back. What was the name of the school in Florida?
Flora Ridge.
Yeah. Oh, two words.
It's two words,
yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Flora Ridge, Florida. That does not sound very creative in the naming.
Yeah.
But
Flora Ridge, yeah.
Flora Ridge, that makes more sense. This is interesting. So you were students in multiple different states growing up through elementary and middle school. Did you notice a difference with the classrooms as you were going between different states? Like, did some classrooms have, like, the more advanced, like the projector TVs? Did some have, like, the old projectors where it would, like, shine a light up onto there and they would write with, like, a marker?
Yeah, I definitely think Connecticut had more advanced stuff than Florida just at that time because Florida is just very expensive to live in, you know. Like, public schools don't get that much funding down there. They're about a couple years behind in the curriculum, too. So I feel like in Connecticut, I learned a lot more. And then when I transferred to Florida, you know, it was like I was kind of ahead in a way because I learned it all in elementary.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they had a lot more. I'm trying to think of the word. I don't know, just a lot more technology in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. So you were at Frederick Harris, and you were just starting to get into technology in the upper elementary grades. Where did you go to middle school again?
I went to middle school in the Conservatory of the Arts.
Conservatory. So you went from conservatory, where at that time it was two separate buildings, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So you were over near in the Indian Orchard area. Am I right with that?
Yep.
If I remember correctly, that building was notorious for having very bad internet connections.
Yeah.
So did a lot of technology get used at that time with teachers there?
I feel like it did get used a lot, but it was a lot of, like, crashes and, like, everybody couldn't use the Wi-Fi at the same time. And, like, it was a lot, like, I feel like the modems were a lot less powerful than they are now. Like, everybody would get a lot of connection issues.
Yeah, I remember that from being at Mary Walsh and then coming here to this office hearing the same thing. How did it work for high school for both of you? Because Putnam, you have to lottery into or like apply to get into. I don't know the whole process. So can you actually take, and I'm sure our listeners don't either, like what is the process to get into Putnam, I guess?
I remember in middle school, they didn't really tell us a lot of details, just most like that I had to apply for it and I had to have good grades, you know, good attendance, make sure nothing was bad. And dang, it was like a while ago. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I feel like it was a lot harder to get into Putnam because we had to have like it was a certain Putnam score, like you had to put your transcript in or whatever, and then depending on what score you got, it depends on what school you got into. And then once we got there, it was, like, a lot of different kinds of kids. Like, not just, like, the super smart kids. Like, there was, like, varieties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, was Putnam both of your first choices?
Yeah.
In that whole balloting process?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, if I know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I always was at elementary school and then here, so I never worked at any of the high schools. With Putnam being a vocational school, did you have to go and tour all of the shop classes and like spend multiple weeks in those classes to kind of learn more about them to figure out what you liked? Or could you just say, yeah, I don't want to do any of the shops. I just wanted to be here for the academic side.
You would go through one day at each shop, and then at the end you would get like a selection, like 1 to like 23 or 24, however many shops there was, and you would tour like your top three for a couple weeks and then choose based off of that. Because some people go into it with the intention of being in one shop and then they find out that, oh, I like this one better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you find the same thing for you too?
I already knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do IT because I really didn't like the rest of the shops, but I think my second choice was machine tech because I really liked how you could just create new things.
Mm-hmm. So was IT also your first choice, or?
No, I actually wanted to be in cosmetology before I got there, and then I went, and the cosmetology program wasn't really what I was expecting. And when I got to IT, like, it was, like, the teacher, like, gave me good vibes and, like, showed me everything that was happening in there, and I thought it was a good choice.
Nice. Now, if I know correctly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you two are friends outside of school, too. So how did you meet?
In the exploratory.
Yeah, like the first, I think the first
we had an orientation week
of school during the summertime. Mm-hmm. We became friends because we were in the same
orientation.
Yeah, orientation group. Mm-hmm. And so we were just really nervous and we're like, you want to be friends? And like, just help each other through it. And we're like, yeah. And then it just kind of evolved from there.
Yeah, and then we both decided to pick IT. Like, it wasn't based off, like, oh, my friend went to IT.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was just, like, we both wanted to do it.
Now, as Putnam students, did you find that happened a lot? That there were students who chose to do specific shops because their friends were doing it? Or did it seem like most people really wanted to do the shops that they ended up choosing?
I feel like some people went into the shops they were choosing, but some of them really were like, oh, I want to stay with my friends from middle school.
Yeah, or like my boyfriend or something, and then something would happen, you know.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Oh, yeah. It
was, where you're stuck with them for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So you didn't do any – did you do any middle schools here in Springfield?
I did Forest Park.
So you did Forest Park.
Just
so
for 8th grade.
Just for 8th grade. Yeah. Because that was going to be my question, is how did you get into Putnam from being outside the district?
Yeah.
But you went to Forest Park, and that makes sense. So during your time in IT, what is the program like over there, and what kind of things do you cover?
I think it's a lot in the beginning, like introductory stuff, like binary, and kind of getting you familiarized with just technology and, like, to not be afraid of it, just to kind of like dive deeper in. And then as the years go on, they kind of introduce more things to you, more options, kind of like dipping your feet into the pool for different stuff like networking, programming, like hardware, all that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like when we first started, it was more like hardware and hands-on outside stuff. And then we got more, as we like got on the years, like maybe 11th and 12th grade, we started getting more into software and like coding. Yeah.
I think that would have been my approach if I was teaching it too, is start on the outside. What does this thing do? Yeah. And then get on to the inside stuff. So that's cool. So in your 4 years where you've primarily been in the IT shop, other than for those few weeks where you got to try other things out, what has been your favorite things that you've done?
I think I liked coding the best, like making new codes. And it's frustrating sometimes when codes don't work because the slightest thing will make them not work. But, I mean, overall, I think coding was the most fun because, like, we started on, like, code.org, and it had, like, Angry Birds and, like, little animations and stuff until we got to the more advanced stuff.
Yeah, I think the same for me. And also with, like, taking apart the computer and putting it back together, I really liked how you could really see each part, and it was really interesting to see, like, what parts are really sensitive.
Yeah, it's amazing when you take – when – I'm assuming you're talking about desktops. You weren't necessarily taking apart laptops.
Yeah.
With desktops, there are so many different parts that you could take out and replace. And it's amazing sometimes to be like, this little tiny fan cools this whole thing down. And if it doesn't work, then this whole thing crashes.
Exactly, yeah.
So what led you both to sign up to be interns here at in our department?
Our teacher, we were one of the, like, we were top students in the class, so he had brought up the opportunity, and we did, like, we'd, like, talk to our parents about it and stuff, and they were like, yeah, this will be a good opportunity, like, for your resume, and it'll be, like, a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if we wanted to go on to do IT, like, anything IT or computer science in the future, it would really benefit us.
Yeah, I think the same for me, too. It was mostly just, like, my teacher said it was a really good opportunity, so he said just to apply and just, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, you're here, and what can you describe some of the things that happen in the day in the life of an intern here of all of whatever, 1 or 2 hours of a day or a week that you work? What does Julie have you do?
Yeah.
We manage like the objects, like the hummingbirds and the Makey Makeys and the all the technology. We make sure everything is like up to shape and like that when we send them out to schools, everything is there. When we get them back, we double check, make sure like everything's good, and replace items if they need to be replaced. We went on a teacher PD and we learned how to use some of the items.
Oh yeah, to kind of like help teachers know more about it, I guess.
Yeah, before they would bring it into their classrooms, we showed them how to use it, and we got more into it, like learning more stuff about them than we knew before. Because usually we're just messing with the hardware, so we don't really test the products ourselves. So that day was really more using them hands-on.
Yeah. Like right now, we're making posters for preschoolers to learn more about computer science and kind of help them go into it.
That's awesome. So this PD day, working with teachers, as students, teaching teachers, how did that feel?
It was really funny, a little bit. It was very interesting because all the teachers were, they were a little older and there wasn't that many, but they were definitely like really open to learn, and they were just like talking with us, being really nice. And it was really nice.
Yeah, it's weird to see like we're teaching the teachers, like we know more about them. So they were like all confused. It was just a good experience to like see that teachers can struggle sometimes too.
Yeah, that's one thing that doesn't really get shown in the classroom is the struggle that teachers do have, especially when it comes to new technology. So this was earlier this year. Is there anything coming up that would be interesting for our listeners to know about that you guys are working on?
We have a showcase on June 1st.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be, and I think it's just showing like the things that students have made with our technology, like our lending library items. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be in the popcorn booth. So
yeah, for the kids.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Popcorn's fun. So when it comes to everything that you've learned over the last 4 years, being seniors, I remember when I was a senior in high school, the questions were always, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? And you're like, please, I just want to graduate. So I am going to be that person, because at this point in the year, either you kind of know, like, are you going to college next year? Are you taking a gap year? Are you jumping right into a job? So, million-dollar question.
Okay, so we both already committed to Western New England College. And I think you're going to computer science too, right? So we're both going to be in computer science, and I want to go on to be like a forensic, like a digital analyst, like forensics. That's pretty much it. Like, future goals is really the FBI. That's what I'm really looking for.
Yeah, I'm going to Western New England for computer science, and I mostly want to do like coding and just making websites and all that. I know it's going to be, like, really difficult, though, because it's not just, like, I'm trying to figure out. Like, in college, it's not going to be, like, only programming. It's going to be, like, a lot of other things, too, that I probably won't like, so I have to get used to that.
Yeah, but you had high school to get used to that, too. I imagine there's classes that you were like, yeah, I could just do without this. Yeah,
especially chemistry. That was not
But now, with your chemistry knowledge, with coding, you could then turn around and create curriculum for teachers to use coding and chemistry at the same time.
Yeah.
It's possible. So both of you got accepted. Now, was that kind of a planned thing where, like, we're best friends and we're going to the same school? Yeah, or was it kind of a surprise that, hey, I got in. Hey, I got in, too.
We
applied to pretty much, like, a lot of schools around us. And, like, it was just, I feel like a lot of people got accepted, but, like, it was some opportunities were better than others for some people.
Yeah, like, we got a scholarship for the school, so it was, like, a lot of the tuition was just going to be, like, a lot smaller. So
Especially since it's a private school.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, I might as well just take the opportunity since it's really good.
Yeah. So knowing that knowing that that is in the heart of Springfield, and you are Springfield students, and you live in Springfield, are you going to live on campus?
I don't think I'm going to live on campus. I think I'm going to stick it at home for a few years, and then eventually get, like, my own place and continue to go to school.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, just because I didn't go to college in the same town where I lived, my college was farther away from where I lived, so I had to live there. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to stay at home versus going in, living in a dorm, a tiny dorm, probably the size of this room?
Yeah. Well, I know that the size is definitely, like, an issue, and, like, not really having privacy was a big thing for me because I always had my own room, so I wasn't ready to just share it with somebody else, like a stranger.
Yeah. And I think financially, too, I think it's financially more, like, more of a smart decision because you're going to be 10, 15 minutes from home, but you're going to be living on a dorm for, like, an extra $5,000 a year.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, I could see that. So what about food then? Are you going to have, like, dining hall passes, or are you just going to eat at home, bring food in, go back and forth? Because I imagine that was probably one of the questions. When I had to fill out my FAFSA, that was one of the questions that they asked. So
I don't think they included that on ours, but I feel like
it's mostly like if you're living on campus, not if you're going to eat on campus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I would get, depending on like my schedule during the day, like if I had gaps between my schedule, maybe I wouldn't. But like if I had classes more close together, then mm-hmm. like I didn't get time to go out and like...
Mm-hmm. Or you can go home and come
exactly,
back. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I would have to eat there if I had like a little amount of time.
But it's good that it's like good food. It's not like really bad college food.
Yeah. I had bad college food.
Yeah. We just had our accepted students day, and they had like buffet style. Like it was like two floors with food. I don't know if it's going to be like that throughout the year, but they kind of convinced us of that. Day.
Like, wow, awesome.
Probably be like, this is why you should give us $5,000 to live in a tiny room, mm-hmm, because then you get all this. So one of the things you mentioned was your ultimate career goal is FBI. And that's cool that you already are thinking that far ahead. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I still feel like I'm waiting to see what really, really pulls me in. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like programming, but I feel like maybe in the future there might be something else that interests me more, mm-hmm, and that I would probably consider that more if it made, you know, if it made me happy.
If it made you happy. Awesome. So one of the things that we like to do on the podcast, and we'll wrap it up with this, is for teachers, they're very bad at taking care of themselves. A lot of times teachers will be at their school at 7 o'clock in the morning and then not leave till 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night and then do work on the weekends and all of that. So there was this real big push a few years ago at the beginning of COVID where we wanted teachers to be taking care of themselves so that they could take care of their students, mm-hmm, like you. So in doing that, we started this line of question of what do you do to take care of yourself? Because I remember in high school, like all the pressure of getting work done and doing well and getting good grades can be very draining and take up a lot of time. And so I played sports when I was in high school. So that was one of the ways that I took care of myself. What is something that you all do to take care of yourselves?
I think just like getting hobbies, and like when you're at school, worry about your schoolwork, unless like you have homework, of course, but like trying to prioritize like getting time to yourself away from like anything you have to do with school or work that's stressing you out. Just like take that hour or two to yourself, like read or like anything that like interests you, like baking, cooking. Like I feel like that would be a good, I feel like that's part of something that I do just to take care of myself.
Yeah, it's probably not a good thing, but it is a good thing that I try to prioritize my mental health rather than school sometimes, because I've had some issues in the past and I'm not trying to have bad days and then I like do really bad at school and then it's going to make it worse. So I try my best to kind of like separate home and school in a way. Like I do all my homework at school. Like I do nothing at home except like big projects that I really have to do at home, because home time is for me and to relax and just like focus on myself a little more and just do, you know, calm myself down from their stressful day.
Yeah. Especially this year, I feel like we've had a lot of stuff to do.
God.
I feel like senior year has been a lot.
That's a very good attitude to have. And it's something I hope that as you leave here and leave the district and you go off to college, that you do remember that, because in college, it'll be very easy because you don't necessarily sit you're in a class for like once a week for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then you're done, and then you have whatever work you have to do for that. So trying to figure out how best to keep that balance is a really good thing to know now. Like, it's one of the things I wish I knew, because there were times when I would take work home with me and then be working. So, and you mentioned baking and reading. Yeah. So I'm assuming those are things that you do.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing to bake?
I like cookies or cupcakes, because I like decorating cupcakes and like making them pretty. Yeah.
What kind of cookies?
Chocolate chip or red velvet. I love red velvet cookies.
Red velvet's good.
I thought red velvet was just like
red food color.
Yeah.
I feel like it's different.
It's got more of a cakiness to it.
And they had cream cheese frosting.
Mm-hmm. That was good. I actually just started making these chocolate chip cookies with almonds and coconut in it. Oh. So they're very much like a Almond Joy bar, except for cookie form.
Yeah.
So delicious.
That sounds good.
They're really fun. And reading. You mentioned reading. So what is your favorite type of book to read? Are you a trashy novel person? Are you a are you a textbook person?
I think more like informational or like romance, mostly. Like, it keeps me hooked into the book, mm-hmm. and it makes me want to read more.
So what's your favorite book you read this year?
Oh God. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was by, I like all of Colleen Hoover's books.
Isn't like that like When Love
Hypnotizes? It's like The End of Us or something.
Oh, I don't know.
But like, I love all of Colleen Hoover's books. She makes some like romance books, but she also makes like really sad books. And they like, I don't think I've cried at her books, but like they're really like, they tug at your heartstrings a lot.
All right. Well, thank you for spending time out of your day and chatting with me. This has been very informative. It's been nice to hear what interns do here, and hopefully we'll have more interns for next year. And good luck at WinU. I got it right this time. And enjoy your time, because once you are adulting, you're adulting, and there's no break. So thank you.
Thank you.
So I just want to thank our lovely interns again. I hope that you all got a lot out of that. I didn't know what it was like necessarily being a Putnam student, or even what it's kind of like being an intern here in our department, coming from the classroom and right into what I am doing now. So I'm excited that I get to share with you what they were doing. I think it's pretty cool when students have the ability to help train teachers on some of this new technology that we're using. And it's great to hear that they actually enjoyed that too. And like they mentioned, we hope to see you at the Computer Science Show. I just want to thank you again for spending some time with me here at the SBS Digital Learning Hour. If you love this episode, make sure you go and give it a 5-star review. Head over to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you happen to listen to us. Make sure that you do leave us that rating and review. That's how we can help get out what awesome teachers we have here in Springfield and all the great things that they do. We also would love for you to share with your friends. Take that subscription that you already have and send the link to one of your friends so that they can also hear about everything that's going on here inside of Springfield. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour.